I think understanding that buildings are for people, they're not just abstract designs. You know, I think there's much discussion in the architecture industry about sort of the egos of some architects. And I've had people who I know from the architecture field say they just couldn't stand some of the egos. And certainly there are people who are very determined to sort of assert themselves on the landscape. But I think it's far more valuable to try and understand the context and the audience for what you're doing, and to try and serve that through the design work that you do. So I think you will encounter, you know, some of those big egos in the architectural field, but there are plenty of other people who just want to make good buildings and make them work well. And I think that's the most laudable goal.
Welcome back to Connecting with Careers. I'm Piper Roskovensky, and in this episode, I interviewed Alex Harris, who graduated from Friends in 1968. She is retired and used to manage and administer public sector architectural projects. Some examples are Fort Worden in Port Townsend, Washington, and the Central Library in Seattle, Washington. I am excited to share her journey of working in architecture.
My name is Alex Harris. My full name is Alexandra, but I go by Alex. And I worked in the field of architecture, mainly in public sector, but I began studying architecture as an undergraduate and then went on to graduate school in architecture and began work while I was in architecture school as an intern in architectural offices and in an architectural office on the UW campus as well.
Nice. Thank you so much. I know you described a little bit of what you did, but could you just maybe go into a little bit more detail about what you did, maybe what your day looked like or week looked like?
Well, it certainly varied a lot over the course of my working career, but you know, early on when I was working for an architectural office in Pioneer Square, I was sitting at a drafting table, drafting things much of the day. And the architect I worked for did a combination of historic renovation, adaptive reuse of old buildings, and also did some single family residential design. And his name was Ralph Anderson. And I worked there initially for academic credit and then eventually for a salary later on. And so it was everything from, I remember at one point straddling the roof of an old hotel building in a town called Port Orchard, Washington, which is over on the Olympic Peninsula, as we assessed the condition of an old building. And we did similar work on an old army fort, assessing the condition of existing buildings. When I went into the public sector, I was working on everything from renovations to a grand old school building that had become a Hispanic community center, to siting and design of a police precinct station, and then a whole series of fire station projects that were expanding, renovating, changing existing fire stations and building some new ones. And then later on, I worked on libraries, which was a fascinating program. At the time, a bond measure had passed in Seattle to fund library projects, and it was the largest library bond measure that had passed anywhere in the country at that time. And it involved a new central library and renovations and construction of branch libraries. So a lot of the buildings I was involved in were public sector projects, but you know, at the small scale, when I was still in graduate school, I was working on making sure there were handicapped accessible ramps into academic buildings and things like that. So architecture involves a broad span of, you know, the sort of conceptual distant view of a project and the nitty gritty details. And of course, you have to understand a lot about materials, construction, seismic. I mean, we're in an earthquake zone here in the Northwest, so understanding how earthquake forces work on buildings is important. So it's a mixture. I think what appealed to me most is it's kind of a mixture of art and science. So you can love the design of a building, but if it doesn't work, either physically or spatially, it's not a successful building. So you have to get to a point where you understand both the details and the conceptual basis of how it accommodates the uses it's intended for.
Yeah, I really like how much you could do with architecture. I never really knew there was like so much you could get into with that. So we can get into the next question, which is what is one of your favorite parts of your job? Something that you just constantly love doing.
Well, one of the things I enjoyed a lot is I often served as sort of an interface between what I'll call the client and the architectural team. So the architectural team often, well, obviously had to understand the goals of the client. So, say, a library, what are they trying to do differently than they do now? What are they trying to change? Who are they trying to serve? All of those things. And there's a lot of importance to the communication from both directions. So that was very gratifying when it worked well. And there was a lot of presenting information to all different audiences, design commissions, public meetings, city councils, things like that. And so being able to explain the architecture to many different audiences. For example, the new Central Library in Seattle was a ground up, all new building, and it was designed by Rem Koolhaas, an architect based in the Netherlands. And one of the ideas they put forth was instead of having a lot of the resources in what are called closed stacks, where you have to go to a librarian and request something, that everything would be out for people to wander through and find what they wanted. And so they developed this design that was sloping levels that connected like a zigzag up through the building. So all of the books could be out for public grazing, if you will. And that was took some understanding to get across. And for the library board, the library staff, everyone to get on board with that. But it's there, it's built, it's very successful. So I think serving as sort of a point of translation between those concepts and the ultimate user groups was an interesting area to me.
I like that, the communication. I didn't, also, again, I didn't really realize that there was so much communication because it makes sense. You have to understand a lot of different things, especially change. And yeah, another thing, I know you just talked about your favorite part, but could you talk about one of your maybe least favorite parts or maybe a stressful part of the job that you didn't really enjoy?
Well, there were certainly intense times. I mean, the police precinct station project I worked on was intended by the then mayor of Seattle to bring the police closer to the people they served in what was called the Central Area, which is a very diverse community with a lot of African Americans. And the idea was if the police were immersed in the community, there wouldn't be so much sort of friction between police and the Black community, they would be part of the community, and that would help in policing that part of the city. But it created a lot of anxiety and hostility and concern on the part of the African American community. So there were times like that where there was a lot of intensity from the standpoint of either the recipients of a project or the users of a project. And later on, when I worked on the library's building program, the library had chosen to manage all these projects itself. It's a somewhat independent department of the city of Seattle. And so the library board was very much in the firing line in terms of, can you do this? Can you do it adequately? And so there was a lot of intensity around making sure things were done carefully and well. And a lot of night meetings. I mean, I went to community meetings all over the city, and sometimes several times a week would be out, going to community meetings. So there were times that were intense. But it was gratifying in the sense that the project served a wide audience. So I felt a sense of, I'll call it mission about that they were serving people that needed access to resources.
Yeah, that's a really interesting story. I know you talked about the intensity, and that's probably something that people like in that architecture career need to be able to handle. Is there any other types of qualities that maybe you think that someone needs to be successful in the field of architecture?
Well, I think architecture demands a wide range of knowledge and resources. I mean, I never considered myself sort of a genius at math. I did well in math, but you certainly need to understand mathematics in order to understand structures, which is a whole avenue of work in architecture school, is taking structural design classes where you're doing things like calculating the design of a retaining wall to make sure it's strong enough to hold whatever forces are pushing on it. Understanding, I mentioned before, materials and how they interact with each other over time, as well as just how to connect them. And then the art of architecture, I think. I had grown up, because of my father's work, going to museums a lot, seeing a lot of art. He worked at Winterthur Museum when we lived in Delaware. And so I enjoyed the mixture of kind of art and craft and science that architecture presented, because you sort of need all those pieces to go together in order to produce architectural designs. And at the time I studied architecture, I mean, I was able to take 2 years of architectural design in college, but I didn't take structures until I was in graduate school. And I had taken architectural history as an undergraduate, things like that. But at that time, a lot of graduate programs in architecture were tilted toward people who had undergraduate professional degrees in architecture, whereas I had a liberal arts degree. So one reason I came to the Northwest is the architecture program at the University of Washington that I came to was more accepting of liberal arts undergraduates than many architecture schools were back then.
You talked a little bit about going to museums and enjoying the art, but you also talked about how you weren't like you didn't think you were a genius in math. Did you always know that you wanted to be like go into architecture or
I
maybe?
didn't. I think when I started college, I thought maybe I'd go to law school or something like that. I didn't have a st I think one of the good things about college and a liberal arts college is that you are exposed to all different kinds of things. And one of the things I was exposed to in college was they had a practicing architect who taught design at Vassar, where I went, and I took design classes from him. And I also had an unusual opportunity. A fellow Friends School graduate, Jay Resnick, had sp spent part of his undergraduate life on an exchange program at Vassar. And a group of us ended up renting a house. There were five of us, all students at Vassar, who were in the house. And the house had been designed by Marcel Breuer for a family that lived in Poughkeepsie, and the owner of the house was renting it out on what was called the IBM list, which was a list of housing available to people coming in to work at IBM there. And anyway, the experience of living in that beautifully designed house for several years, I think, influenced me, as well as the experience of taking architectural design in college.
Yeah, so you talked a lot about like there's a lot of different paths in architecture, and how did you choose your specific path?
Well, going into architecture, that I would have stayed in private practice of architecture. What influenced me to do otherwise was around the time I finished my graduate degree, there was a real economic downturn that affected architecture a lot. And people I knew in graduate school had been working for the same firm for a number of years were all of a sudden laid off. Around that same time period, I was not laid off. I was still working, but it was suggested that I apply for a position in what was called the City Architect's Office in Seattle, which I did, and I was in the end offered a job there. And that's how I happened to go into the public sector path of architecture. And the projects were interesting because they had such diverse audiences. And they also had, I think I had a certain sense of, I'll call it mission about architecture, you know, how it can serve people. And so the projects that I worked on in the public sector tended to have these broad, complex constituencies where I felt rewarded by the experience of trying to deliver on those projects.
Yeah, I love that you found that passion for it. There are some high schoolers in Wilmington Friends School who are interested in that, interested in architecture. And what would you recommend for them or any high schoolers to do if they're interested in that career path?
Well, there certainly wouldn't be any harm in approaching architects in Wilmington and seeing if any would come talk to a group of you about their work, things like that. It's possible there would be, you know, summer options to work in a small architectural office. But I think beyond that, the just looking at architecture, experiencing architecture, reading about historical architecture, all those things kind of contribute to your understanding of the field. And if you have the opportunity to travel, certainly experiencing, you know, different buildings can be a great way to get a new perspective on architecture. I was very interested in sort of historical buildings at the time I was first learning about architecture. So all of the effort to renovate and adaptively reuse old historic buildings I found interesting. And as I think I mentioned, the first architect I worked for in Seattle did a lot of that kind of work. So that's part of what drew me in his direction. But I think seeing and experiencing architecture is a big part of it, and certainly making sure you focus on, you know, geometry and classes like that that seem sort of irrelevant when you're studying them, but in fact are very relevant to architecture.
Yeah, thank you. And then I have two questions from a sophomore in high school who's interested in architecture. So the first one is, you already talked about this a little bit, but what qualifications do you need to become an architect? Maybe leaning more towards like college. You talked a lot about like degrees, and what do you think would be good for people to start thinking about?
Well, graduate school was very intense. So, you know, you have to have a lot of energy and focus. And I think, as I said before, that the bringing together of kind of the craft, at the time I was in architecture school, all architectural drawing was done by hand. It's not all anymore. I mean, some of it's done by computer, but certainly understanding building materials. When I was at Friends, I took, I don't remember what it was called, but it was in effect a shop class where they, you know, you worked with wood, and it was down in the lower level, if I remember right, of the old part of the building. And that was good experience. When I was in graduate school, there was an architectural shop where you designed and made pieces of furniture for yourself or things like that. And I think understanding materials and how they go together is really valuable when you get into architecture. And I think understanding that buildings are for people. They're not just abstract designs. I think there's much discussion in the architecture industry about sort of the egos of some architects. And I've had people who I know from the architecture field say they just couldn't stand some of the egos. And certainly there are people who are very determined to sort of assert themselves on the landscape. But I think it's far more valuable to try and understand the context and the audience for what you're doing, and to try and serve that through the design work that you do. So I think you will encounter, some of those big egos in the architectural field, but there are plenty of other people who just want to make good buildings and make them work well. And I think that's the most laudable goal.
The last question I have is, how demanding is could the job be on someone's mental or physical health? You did talk about some intensities, but do you have any more examples of when times were hard or if the job's simply maybe not that demanding?
Certainly, architecture school itself can be very intense. I mean, there were a lot of jokes about, people pulling all-nighters and things like that. And, the design studios were very time-consuming places to be. So that was very intense. I think the best way to sort of manage the stress of the architectural industry is to find an office or a group of people to work with who share your values and your goals. And there are certainly some firms where, you get really big commissions and it's very exciting. But if you don't like the people you work with and the way they do their work, that can be hard. But I think that like any other job, you have to take care of yourself along the way. Whether it's, I used to sometimes go out at lunchtime and take a long walk. And, that would help me get through intense days. But for me, there were partly because of my public sector work, there were a lot of meetings, a lot of managing differing expectations. I noticed on something I saw that you have done some acting at Friends, and I had done that as well. And I think it really was helpful to me that I was never uncomfortable speaking in front of a group. I whether it was a public meeting, a city council meeting, a design commission, I could do it and I didn't worry terribly about doing it. So that was useful to me in managing stress because I know for some people, standing up in front of a group of people and talking is very stressful. But anyway, I think everybody approaches it differently. But for me, I had the wonderful environment of the Northwest. So, getting out, doing hikes, being outdoors, all of those things help on an overall lifestyle approach to stress management. But architecture can certainly be intense and you have to, plunge into it to get your arms around it. But I think that there are ways to manage that that are doable.